Well, that psalm that Josh read, it would be good if you would have that in front of you. And perhaps as you're turning it up again, I'm going to ask you to picture a scene. It's from a very well-known story. Many of you will recognize it immediately, but it's not necessary to know it. There's a hero, and he's carrying a great burden. This is a great mission, a quest. There are many dangers and difficulties along the way. And this hero and his companions are some way into their journey now. And things are difficult. The hero in particular is assailed by troubles. Things are starting to go very wrong. And in this particular moment, there are multiple layers to his troubles. And all of them, in fact, we're going to see in this psalm. There's a terrible disquiet inside his own heart. There are fears and anxieties. He feels crushed and overwhelmed by the size of the task. Not only that, there are enemies surrounding him. The enemies are big, they're powerful, they're very evil, they're well-armed, determined, and they're getting closer and closer. And not only that, but one of his own companions, one of the trusted fellowship, as they're called, he's a man, he's called Boromir. He's supposed to be a faithful and trusted companion. And the ring that the hero was carrying, this man is becoming increasingly obsessed with having this ring for himself. And it turns out he's about to betray the fellowship as he's increasingly consumed with desire for the ring, and he tries to take it. And our hero, Frodo, in that moment is overwhelmed and desperate and feels alone and is completely lost. What does he do? Well, if you know the story, at that point, he puts on the ring, not because he wants to fight, not because he has a plan. He just wants to get away. Have you ever noticed how quickly our minds do the same and they move towards escape? If only I could change jobs, move house, get away from this person, have this illness go away, get past this event. We instinctively believe that peace will be somewhere else. A different place, a different situation, a different life. David felt exactly the same. Josh read those words. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. And those words feel remarkably near us, don't they? He's not just saying, I'm struggling. He's saying, I wish I could leave this whole thing behind. Well, all three of those things that our hero Frodo experienced, fear inside, evil out there, and betrayal of a close friend, all happened to David, and that's where the psalm begins. He longs to get away, and it's no wonder he wanted wings to escape. So we're going to see those three things unfold in the psalm as we follow David through each of those aspects of his burden. Fear overwhelms him in the first 8 verses. Then we'll see evil outside there surrounding him. And then we'll see a betrayal that wounds him. But then we're going to see what David does with this burden. He brings it to God and he prays. And that will be our fourth point, because prayer reorients David. And then lastly, we'll see how God deals with David and his burden. Does God take it away? Or does he do something deeper and more powerful and more substantial and more wonderful? Well, we'll see when we get there after God has heard and responded to David's prayer. Let's begin with the fear that overwhelms David. Josh read the words. It opens with a man in profound distress. This is not ordinary worry. This is inner collapse. Listen to that language. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Verse 2. I am restless in my complaint and I moan noisily. Verse 4, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Thoughts, heart, fear, trembling, horror. He's not calmly analysing his circumstances. He is overwhelmed. His mind is troubled. His emotions are in turmoil. Even his body feels the weight of his distress. And the Bible is very honest here. Faith does not make God's people emotionally invulnerable. There are times when this happens, life just overwhelms. And one of the things that happens in those moments, I'm sure many of you have been there, when the emotional noise becomes loud enough, we start to think, this is never going to change. I can't cope. God is not working. We lose our perspective. Those thoughts describe how life feels, but they mistake that one painful chapter for the whole story. Think about Elijah after the episode on Mount Carmel. Many of you will know the story. He was in desperate straits. God did a dramatic intervention in his favor, an amazing victory. But the next minute, he's running for his life from a murderous queen, and he's convinced, I'm the only person who's left. God reminds him, not so. There are many others who have not yet bowed the knee to that false god. His distress had shrunk his world down, and fear does the same thing to us. But notice this. Though David's thinking might be disordered, he is still praying. He's talking to God. The very first words, give ear to my prayer, O God. Now, his prayer is not polished. It mirrors the turmoil of his heart. But that is precisely the point. We often imagine we have to get our thoughts ordered and in calm before we can pray. Not so. Prayer is where we take our lack of calm. David brings God his panic, his disorder, his confusion, and his grief, and he takes it to God. We know those words in the New Testament. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself helps us in our weakness. Sometimes that is the truest and best prayer. And so we see him, despite his fear, he is praying. But where does his fear lead him? To escape. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. And we understand that instinct. If I could just get away. So this is the first question the psalm asks us. What are your wings of a dove? Where does your mind run when life becomes too painful? There are plenty of things, and you will each have perhaps things that you can name, that offer some kind of temporary relief, but none can carry the deepest burden of your soul. Yeah, you can change your circumstances, but you'll still take your heart with you. David thinks he needs wings, but this psalm is not ultimately about how faith makes fear disappear. It's about how God deals with a frightened believer, teaching him not to run from his circumstances and to begin entrusting himself to God within them, as we'll see. Now, there's a second layer to David's burden, and we come to verse 9. Evil surrounds David. So far, we've looked at what's happening inside him, but now we see that the world out there also is falling apart as well. Listen to the words he uses in verses 9 and 10 and 11. Violence and strife in the city, verse 9. Iniquity and trouble are in the midst of it. Destruction, oppression, deceit. This is not just a man struggling with his own emotions. He's looking around and he's seeing a world, a society that's deeply disordered. The city has become a place where evil is no longer hidden away in certain corners. It has come into ordinary life. See how comprehensive that description is. It's as if he's walking through the city and he's pointing out the landmarks and he's saying violence and strife and iniquity and trouble. It's everywhere. It's in the streets, in fact, or as the ESV translation has it, the marketplace. Oppression and deceit, the places that should bring security, have become associated with corruption and evil. The streets is an especially powerful detail because that's where ordinary life happens. That's where we buy and sell. That's where families go to get their shopping, neighbours meet together, life continues. He's not describing evil that's hidden away in like a certain, you know, bad corner. He's describing a city where evil has become normal. And that's a lesson for us. A society can appear to be successful and prosperous and well-ordered while inside it's collapsing. Outward order is no guarantee of inward health. The walls might stand, the markets and the streets might be functioning as they should. Spiritually, there's something wrong. And there's a pastoral lesson in there for us, because sometimes we feel, when we get into this position where we're overburdened, anxious, distressed, struggling spiritually, the problem is inside us. But it is true that partly the environment does matter, because there are toxic workplaces, there are families that are difficult, there are destructive friendships, there are societies that are morally confused, and those environments outside do affect us. And that forces us to ask, what's the environment where you live and where you work doing to your inside soul? What voices are you listening to? What attitudes have become normal? What conversations are shaping your thinking? Perhaps what things have you slowly accepted as ordinary that Scripture actually says is harmful? Have you become more cynical because everyone around you is that way? Or more fearful because everyone around you is fearful? Or less hopeful because you've absorbed the spirit of the age? Our surroundings do shape us, but we have to be careful, because the psalm is not urging us to leave, although sometimes that might be the right thing to do. The psalm isn't asking us, should I stay or should I go? It's asking a deeper, better question, which is, what is my refuge while I'm here? Because you can change jobs, you can change your circumstances, you can go away to a different city, but still carry that anxious heart. Escape can change your circumstances, but escape won't be your source of peace, because the deepest need of our hearts in that environment isn't just a change, it's refuge. So we're following David praying. We're up to verse 11, and now we get to yet another layer to his burden. We come to verse 12. Now, look with me. We've seen him overwhelmed by fear, surrounded by evil. And now the psalm slows down. Everything changes, because the deepest wound is neither of those two things. It's actually the person who has behind it. The emotional center of the psalm is not the enemy, it's the one who was the friend. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, verse 12, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked to the house of God in the throng. Every step is making that wound deeper, because it's describing a close relationship. He could have understood an enemy attacking him, but this betrayal hurts so deeply because it comes from one person you never expected to be the source of your pain. Not just someone that he knew, but someone that he trusted, someone who walked beside him, someone with whom he worshipped God. And sometimes we need permission just to acknowledge how painful that is, because faith does not mean pretending that these things don't wound. And what a temptation that creates, just to escape and leave it behind. Imagining perhaps what we could have said, wondering how everything has changed. Maybe leave that relationship altogether, but we'll still carry the wound. You can move away, you can change things, and still find that the pain has moved with you. And so we keep coming back to this same thought. Escape cannot heal what only God can carry. And that is going to be the great movement of this psalm, because we've seen David thinking, the answer was, if only I could get away. But with these three layers of his burden, and especially with the betrayal, he is being taught something deeper. The question is not just, how do I escape this pain? But it's, who can carry this pain with me? He wanted wings to get away, but God is preparing to give him something far better. Not a way out of the storm that he mentions in verse 8, but someone strong enough to carry him in the storm. And now I hope we can see together the trajectory. He keeps looking for another place. God keeps revealing himself as the place of refuge. And so we get to verse 16. Prayer reorients David. Everything changes here. David has been looking for a way out. If only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. The city around him becomes corrupt, and he wants distance from that terrible place. Betrayal wounds him, and he longs to get away from that pain. But now something amazing happens. He doesn't get the wings that he wanted in the beginning. He gets something else. He gets communication with God. God gives him connection with his very self. He gives him relationship in prayer. Tune in with me now to verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Can you hear now that change of tone? At the beginning, the instinct was, get me out of here. Now his prayer is becoming, meet me here. This is the great turning point, because God doesn't answer David by changing his circumstances. There is no escape in that sense. He's going to change David's heart within those circumstances by revealing himself to David. Faith doesn't mean that God removes the frightening, difficult situation necessarily, but it does mean that we learn to entrust ourselves to God within that situation. He wanted a different place, but he got the presence of God. Look at those words in verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. He's not giving us some timetable for prayer. He's describing a whole life now that's oriented towards God. Because that distress that once filled all his day has now become the reason he repeatedly goes back to God, evening and morning and noon, all throughout the day. The crisis that had dominated his thoughts, or the multiple crises in David's case that had dominated his thoughts, now become the occasion to keep turning back to God in dependence. What a profound change. But see, his circumstances have not changed. Still fear, still enemies, still betrayal, still a burden. None of that has been removed that we can see in the psalm. But David has been given connection to God, and we're going to see that changes everything. And you can track this change even in the verbs of the psalm. At the beginning, everything's revolving around David. Verse 6, I would fly away. I would wander far off. I would hasten my escape. I, my fear, my enemies, my escape, my desire to get away, but now the center of gravity has moved. I will pray and cry aloud, verse 17. Verse 19, God will hear. Verse 19, he who abides from of old. Verse 20, he has put forth his hands. Everything shifts. He was looking at himself and his circumstances, and now he's looking at God. Inevitably, that raises a question for us. Are you doing this? Where are you taking your burdens? Because you are taking them somewhere. into your imagination, into your conversations, perhaps into sleepless nights, perhaps endlessly round and round in your head, weighing you down. And sometimes we carry burdens that become heavier because we are not doing what David did. And this psalm is showing us another way. He's not denying his fear. He's not denying how horrible and toxic it is out there. He's not pretending that this close friend hasn't betrayed him and that it wounds deeply. Prayer doesn't make him forget what happened. In fact, strangely in the psalm, as we carry on, we come to verse 20, we see that even though we're in the middle of his prayer, he's back to the theme of the betrayal. He's put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. Verse 21, the words of his mouth, the betrayer, were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. That's all still very real. Those words spoken against him are still hurting. But now there's a crucial difference. Before he was consumed by all of that, but now he's brought it into God's presence. And that's a very important distinction. So the question is not, have these things stopped happening to me? Have I got away from all of this? The question is, where do I take this now when it comes into my thoughts? Do I carry it alone, or am I taking it into God's presence in prayer? And prayer is not just a way that's going to make us feel calmer. This is the place where we become reoriented towards God. Circumstances are still frightening, but now they are no longer ultimate in God's presence. The enemies are real, but now they are no longer sovereign in God's presence. Yes, betrayal is painful, but now it does not have the final word in God's presence because David is learning to put everything and himself into God's hands. And that is going to be the lesson of Psalm 55. Prayer is not our way of avoiding or getting away from every storm. Prayer is us turning ourselves towards God in the storm and finding him there with open arms, ready to receive us and help us. The evidence that God is working isn't going to be this problem has gone away. But now we can say in our hearts, I know where to take this. And that's why verse 22 is such a natural and wonderful destination. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Now we see that David is ready to learn that God can sustain him. He wanted wings, he wanted escape, but instead he gets through prayer, connection to God and the very presence of God. And we come now to where the whole psalm has been heading. Because the final question is not, did David escape? Because he didn't. The final question is, who can carry this burden? And that brings us to the psalm's great conclusion. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You see, David has learned that he does not have to carry this burden alone. Much later in that story that I started with, there's another heart-rending scene, and our hero Frodo has this ever-faithful servant, Sam. And there's a point when things really, really, really are desperate, and it looks like Frodo just cannot even get up from the ground and carry on. And Sam says, come, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you and it as well. So up you get. Come on, Mr. Frodo, dear. Sam will give you a ride. Just tell him where to go and he'll go. And that Hebrew picture of cast your burden is of a transferring a weight that I can't carry onto someone who can. Who can carry this burden for us? Well, wonderfully, there is one who can. And this is exactly what we see fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, great David's greater son. Everything David experiences finds its fullest fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows the burden within. David said, "My heart is severely pained within me." Jesus said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He went into the Garden of Gethsemane with the weight of suffering pressing upon him. He knows the fear. He knows the anguish. He knows what's coming. And what does he do? He prays, "If this is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." He brings his anguish before his Father. The fear was real, the suffering was real, but so was his trust. He knows the burden out there. David looked at a corrupt city and he wanted to get away. Jesus entered a corrupt city knowing exactly what was waiting for him. He didn't ignore the corruption of the city. He wept over it. He entered it. He confronted it and he walked towards the cross. David longed for wings. Jesus could have called for legions of angels. He could have escaped, but he entrusted himself to his Father and he continued on the road to Calvary and the cross. And he knows the pain of betrayal. David was betrayed by a close companion. Jesus was betrayed by one of his companions. David carried the pain of a broken relationship. Jesus experienced that same wound in its deepest form. He knows what it is to be abandoned and denied and handed over by someone who had walked beside him. The movement is the same. David cries out to God in distress. Jesus prays in agony before the Father. David wanted to flee. Jesus stayed right there. Where David struggled, Jesus succeeded. Where David wanted escape, Jesus chose to obey. Where David needed God to sustain him through suffering, Jesus entered suffering to become the one who sustains us. David carried the pain of betrayal. Jesus carried the weight of our sin. David needed refuge from the storm. Jesus went into the storm itself so that we could find our refuge in him. David learned to trust God, albeit imperfectly, but Jesus entrusted himself perfectly to God. "Not my will, but yours be done." So notice where we have finally arrived in the very last line. "But I will trust in you." This is not smile anyway optimism. This is not the belief that everything was going to just work out the way David had initially hoped. This trust has been forged through fear, through confusion, through grief, through prayer, ultimately through Jesus who endured all of those things for us. David doesn't say, "I trust because nothing bad happens." "I trust because God is there and I know he will carry the burden for me." Jesus alone is able to bear the burden of those who come to him. Brothers and sisters, cast your burden on the Lord and keep pressing on. The certainty of what Jesus has prepared for his people gives us strength for every step of the journey. We heard this morning, we know that these present burdens are temporary and the glory to come is eternal, and one day we shall be with him. And if you have never come to Christ, remember, the greatest burden that you carry is not the anxiety and fearfulness in your heart. It's not the world out there that gives you so much trouble. It is not some broken relationship in your life, painful as those things are. It is your sinful rebellion against this God. And Jesus alone can carry the burden. And that is the only way that that burden of sin can be dealt with. So come to him today. And the one who sustains his people through this life will also receive them into the life that is to come.